following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hey, I'm Brandon.
Hey, I'm Jonathan.
Hey, I'm Andrew.
Hey, Fleming Brothers, welcome back to Nerdy Show.
Hi, thanks.
Yay.
If those voices aren't familiar to you, why, they're the folks who host Wicked Anime, the Nerdy Show Network's only anime podcast, and also probably the best one you've ever heard.
Yay, that's what the fans say, I think, I hope.
And hey,
they come up to me all the time, and they're like, hey, man, when you guys put out one of them anime episodes with the guys with the spiky hair and the big eyes? And I'm like, I have no idea, but they're good, aren't they? And they're like, yeah, man, they're good. I want more. They don't know the name of the podcast, but man, do they like it.
Actually, if you haven't heard it yet, we did a special, or I did a special with Wicked Anime for their 200th episode?
100. It feels like 200.
It does feel that way. We played a tabletop role-playing game where we were all sexy maids competing for the love of our master.
That, yep.
Me.
That sounds like 50% of the anime I've seen. Yeah. Sounds about right.
That was a really good episode, too. I'm so proud of the maid episode. It came out great.
Yeah. If anybody listens to anything, I think it's one of the most favorite things, my most favorite things we ever put out so far.
I had an awesome time. We'll link to where you can check it out on this episode's page. But that's not what we're here to talk about. What we're here to talk about is the Sega Genesis, or Sega during the Genesis era, because this is a Nerdy Show microsode. That's where we talk about what you want us to talk about for 15 minutes. And in this case, we have been asked by Anthony Rubbert. He says, I'd like to hear your personal thoughts on Sega and its history, specifically centered around the Genesis era and all their crazy add-ons. I've always been interested to hear people's stories and opinions on this topic. Keep up the great work on the network. Love always, Anthony.
Well, I'm assuming that everyone here is a fan of Sega at some point.
Yeah.
At least Sega.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I hate everything they do. So let's continue this discussion. That's why I'm here. I'm here to say, boo, Sega. He's terrible.
This reminds me of the Monster Hunter episode we did.
It's Monster Hunter all over again.
Which we'll also link to.
Let's talk about when Sega started going horribly wrong with the Genesis.
Okay, so I don't know about you, but when the Genesis came out, you had Nintendo kids and you had Genesis kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's almost in the same way that there was Sony and Microsoft now.
Yeah, so Jonathan and I grew up.
Or Coke and Pepsi.
Right. Yeah, right, yeah.
There you go. And so Jonathan and I grew up as Genesis kids. Very first video game we ever played was the first Streets of Rage, which is ultimately the best Streets of Rage.
Yeah, and we were 3 years old.
Yeah, it was great.
You guys are youngins.
Yeah, very special thanks to our uncle.
Yeah. Thanks, Uncle Fleming.
Yes, and we actually still have that Sega Genesis. I can go look at it in my room right now, and that same Sega Genesis from 20 plus years ago is still sitting in that room, and it still works.
The Streets of Rage cartridge is not the same, though. However, I did find one at an anime convention that we just went to that was in box with the instruction manual for $20. And so that is on my shelf.
Not bad.
Can you guys explain Altered Beast to me? Because I was one of those kids who grew up on Nintendo, because I'm probably slightly older than you guys, and I love RPGs, so Nintendo was where it was at. And then Genesis came out. I didn't buy one because I'm like, whatever, games, yeah, the graphics, ooh, whatever. And then I would go to people's houses and I would play Altered Beast, and it was fun, but man, that game's fucking ridiculously hard. And I don't understand. I still don't know what it's about. You turn into a werewolf sometimes, and sometimes you don't, and you die in like 3 hits.
Yeah, I don't know. That game I remember everything about that game just being so extremely linear. How you just walk forward, punch twice, walk forward, punch twice, walk forward, punch twice, collect an orb. When you get 3, turn into an animal, and then you beat the level.
Well, side-scrolling, like, it kept moving. You couldn't stop. You walk around to these really slow buff guys, like, they don't care if they get hit. So when an enemy's coming, you just turn around and walk away slowly, which is not fast enough to escape anything. And then they get killed in 3 hits. And I fucking hated that game.
Keep in mind, Altered Beast was packaged with the system when it launched.
That's probably why I played it. Everyone had it.
That was them putting their best foot forward at the time. Genesis's sales sucked until Sonic the Hedgehog happened 2 years later.
I was going to say Sonic the Hedgehog 1 and 2 I really liked, and then they really dropped the ball with every other Sonic game I've ever created.
Many would argue that.
There was that BioWare one that came out with it, which was supposedly really good, but I never played it.
A Sonic it
was,
RPG.
Yeah, yeah. Which yeah. was supposed to be kind of like Mario RPG.
Well, I don't think we ever played Sonic RPG. Oh, no. Yeah, I was thinking of 3D, Sonic 3D.
Oh, we had Sonic 3D Blast.
Oh, boy, that's a nightmare of a game.
Yeah, it is.
Sonic Shuffle
not
is a, by far the best Sonic
game.
Not as
weird as of an acid trip that Sonic Spinball was.
Oh, yeah, that game was creepy.
I still think Sonic Shuffle is the best game ever created.
Which one's that?
That's the one that's the Mario Party game, but there's no partying. There's no
oh, that's
there's
disgusting.
No all the mini games are rigged, and then you just run into Robotnik on a bench and he just hurts you. And then like it's a story you can't skip every move, and then you just go on and you're sad because Robotnik's just like taking all your rings or some shit. It's
speaking
horrible.
Of which, could anybody beat level 2 of Mean Bean Machine?
Oh man, that was tough.
The game was hard.
Was that the kind of, not like the Tetris or Yoshi's Cookie kind of game?
It's really good.
Yeah. No, I did like that game. Didn't you have it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember playing
that. It's a fun as hell game. Maybe I beat level 2. Honestly, I don't know. I just played a lot of it. So I would assume
it's
didn't.
It's great multiplayer. Great multiplayer, but not single player.
So back to Genesis.
The Genesis sold 30.75 million units worldwide. And it was a major hit in North America and Brazil, but in Japan, it was actually beat out by Nintendo and the TurboGrafx, like, the whole time. And Nintendo, of course, had the NES out, and then 2 years into that release, the SNES. And that's where the polarization happened between, I mean, generally, your parents were only going to buy you one video game system back then.
Unless you were rich.
Yeah.
Then you had all of them. And then you go to their house and you're like, oh, you look at this game, and you put it in your pocket and don't tell them you walked away with it. That's happened somewhere.
Okay. But Sega actually fed into that polarization. They made the Genesis kids and so on. Even though the Super Nintendo was a more powerful system in many regards, they kept putting forward this, like, we're cooler than you, we're better than you, aggressive angle. And actually, I was all about Zelda and Mario, so I was in the Nintendo camp. And that Sega stuff really put me off. I liked playing Sonic at Sears, but...
well, I had the same experience where, like, I liked Mario, I liked the Zelda games. They had, like, the Mega Man games. And so when Sega came out, I was like, oh, these graphics are really cool, but, like, I don't feel there are games with the quality that I like or games made for me, like, that I'm used to. They weren't at all anything similar to Nintendo games.
It was very different. I mean, you could own a Genesis and you were getting a completely different gaming
experience.
Well,
if you hated Nintendo, then yeah, you would have liked it.
What was funny is that right now, you know, there's the schism between PlayStation or Xbox, but, you know, most of the games are cross-compatible between the two of them. But
I think the main schism right now is between Nintendo and then Sony
and everyone
and
else.
Yeah.
But Nintendo's an island of its own. That's a different conversation. But back then, during the supposed console wars, you could own both those systems if you had the money for it. And there was no reason to choose between the two of them at all. If you had the money for it, it was a unique situation.
Most of us did not have the money.
No.
Super Nintendo games were $80. Shit.
Yeah.
See, the thing that was amazing about both the systems was at the time that they came out, they were both heavily experimenting with what kind of games they could release.
Ideas were still new.
Yeah. And, you know, that's why you had crazy things like Legend of Zelda, which was an adventure game, or Mega Man, which was a platformer and jump from screen to screen. And then you had Sega Genesis, where, you know, you had a lot of side scrolling games. So you had Earthworm Jim coming out, and the animation was crazy. And
then Vector Man using the 3D graphics.
Vector Man's another one of my favorite games.
Did Earthworm Jim come out first on Sega Genesis?
It was better, somewhat, I think.
Well, before Super Nintendo was out, right?
No.
No? Okay.
No, it came out simultaneous for both systems, but it was, maybe it wasn't better. I don't know. I've never played the Genesis one, but I know it's different. I mean, for example, Aladdin was better on Genesis.
Well, Genesis had was allowed more violence, I remember. Because I remember Mortal Kombat between Nintendo and Genesis. And I remember Genesis had red blood. And Nintendo was like, oh, it's gray. And I was like, fuck you. What are you doing?
Oh, that was sweat, Brendan. That was sweat.
Oh, yeah. Every time I kicked someone in the dick, sweat flew out of it. And sweat flies out of my dick when someone punches me.
We had a Super Nintendo cut of MK2, and there was plenty of blood.
It was MK1 they learned their lesson when people bitched to Nintendo.
Constantly. Deplorable sales,
See, another thing that I like with the Sega Genesis is Jonathan and I have a copy of a game called Cyborg Justice. And
go on.
Cyborg Justice was really crazy because they went on a limb and created a game with probably the first ever character customization.
Yeah.
And you could create your own cyborg with its own attacks and its own weapons. Some weapons were way overpowered than others. but you went through the game with this create a character, and you could co-op with one another with your create a character, and it was a beat 'em up style game, and you just fought other randomized robots.
Yeah, but then, wow. But the other thing is too, it's like, oh man, that robot over there has a laser cannon for an arm. I want it. You walk up to the robot, rip his arm off, and put it on you, and then you have a laser cannon. It's so cool.
This is like Horizon, the prequel to Horizon Dawn. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, right?
Except it's probably going to be way better than Horizon Zero Dawn. Sorry.
You know, you guys have almost also described the Genesis itself, because the Genesis was a Frankenstein of a system.
Yes.
Sega, their whole motto kind of became throw shit against the wall and see what sticks.
Wasn't there just like, you could hook so many things up and then you'd have to get a device to hook more things up to it?
Basically, it was ridiculous. The Genesis is the most customizable, using official components, customizable game system of all time. I don't know if anyone's actually equated it to make that phrase work, but I mean, it has to be.
It doesn't mean it's a good thing, but they definitely were creative.
There's a great used game store in Chicago called People Play Games. And I walked in there one day and they had basically every single Genesis attachment imaginable. You could create an Uber Genesis. You get the deck, so you have the Sega CD, plug a 32X into it. They actually had a box for Sega TV, even though it wouldn't do anything, like the little screw-in console, because the Genesis had a cable service that you would download games through.
What?
Yeah.
Forgot
like,
about that.
As soon as the internet became sort of mainstream, that thing happened.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Nintendo had the Satellaview in Japan, which was a satellite service. I think the Genesis
Imagine
one was...
satellite service back then? Are you kidding me?
That's That's where the text-based Chrono Trigger sequel, Radical Dreamers, is from.
God, that's all it could do.
Yeah, text-based. That's funny, because the only thing that I could think of with a satellite service for Nintendo would be like the same graphics as that Game Boy camera you take pictures with.
And the Genesis actually continually updated its system. What version of the Genesis did your uncles give you? Uncle. Singular, give you.
It was just the base console.
Yeah, as far as I know, it was a first generation.
So it had the little slidey volume dial in the front of it?
No, it was the one after that.
Okay.
Yeah,
see,
okay.
That's what I mean. Yeah, like, right. The first one had a little volume dial in the front. It was almost like for you'd have an audio console and a headphone jack. So you could just, like, plug in your system and, I don't know, turn the volume off on the TV. I'm not exactly sure how it worked.
Didn't they have two weird systems before the Sega Genesis came out?
There were systems before the Genesis. There was the SG-1000 and the Master System.
Yes.
But they didn't really leave a mark until the Genesis. And then they just kept expanding the system. They expanded it regularly all throughout the 90s.
They even experimented with customizing the game cartridges, because, you know, they had that crazy Sonic and Knuckles thing, and you put Sonic the Hedgehog 3 into Sonic and Knuckles, and you could play as Sonic or Knuckles.
You play as Knuckles
in Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Ugh. But it was cool, though.
You can plug Knuckles right inside of Sonic.
I mean, like, think about that. Like, that was super weird, you know?
The thing about Sega that I do like is they always tried crazy shit. Nothing held them back. They would always experiment with weird, like, adapters and additions. But then, like, they wouldn't be that great. And, like, a few months later, someone would come out with something better that blew it out of the water. Even though they were the pioneers in that, something just came along right after and just destroyed everything they've ever done.
Well, I mean, for example, the Sega Nomad, which is a portable Genesis.
It
was a crazy
idea. Did it come with a flip, like, screen?
No. It came with a...
I was like, how is it portable? You're going to have to plug it into another TV and then sit down again.
I mean, it had a screen. It was a 3.25-inch screen. I don't think it was backlit. It took 6 AA batteries.
Is this the precursor to the Game Gear?
And it had no, it came after the Game Gear.
What?
It had no battery life, but it could play all Genesis games, every single thing, just no expansions, no Sega.
Oh, did you plug the actual?
No, 32X.
Did you plug the actual full size cartridge in the back? I think I remember that.
Yeah,
I think laughing at it, going, "What? No."
Well, the problem. I mean, it, like,
exactly.
It didn't have a good lifespan, so it was
my brother had a Sega Game Gear because I wouldn't touch that shit, and then so he bought it, and I was like, so I'd try to play it at night. I swear to God, I changed all 6 batteries every, like, 40 to 50 minutes.
Yeah, so many batteries.
The
just
battery
like,
companies?
It was like you were eating batteries.
Battery companies loved Sega. Like, Energizer
like, we
Main,
want Game Gear 2!
God, the games, ugh.
I got to play some Game Gear games. We have a Sonic Anniversary Pack for Xbox, and you could play the Game Gear games that they had on it, and they're trash. Like, utter trash. They run the same way at, like, 3 frames per second.
Yeah, they're not good. The coolest thing about the Game Gear was Surf Ninjas, like the movie.
I'm going to disagree with you with that, whatever you're talking about.
Well,
yeah.
You don't remember Surf Ninjas, where
is it like the Three Ninjas kick back?
No.
Is it like Surf Nazis Must Die?
A little bit more like that. It's a really weird, super campy New Line Cinema film made around the same time as Ninja Turtles 2. It's starring Kino from Ninja Turtles 2, about a bunch of teenagers with special powers who have to fight a guy called Nice Face, I think, who's like a cyborg. Anyway, a kid has the power to see the future in his game gear.
What?
It was really cool.
Wait, so there wasn't actually a game, he just used it in the movie.
There was probably a Surf Ninjas game.
Man, product placement. Shit.
Yeah, well, but good product placement.
The future only moved at 3 frames a second.
You got the Genesis, and say you want to play a Sonic CD or Echo the Dolphin CD. You'd buy the Sega CD console, and it would plug into a deck with the Genesis, so they'd be sitting side by side. But they actually had another version of it, because that was weird. Like, that was like, you know, you're buying a CD drive for your cartridge console, but they made a thing called the Genesis CDX, which combined both of them into one unit called the Multimega in Europe. And Sega marketed, here's just one other example about Sega being so crazy. They marketed it as a portable CD player as well as a video game system.
Did it have a Laserdisc player or just CDs?
Just CDs. It was small. They're like, oh, it weighs 2 pounds, so it's a portable CD player. It's got a little screen in the front, so it'll tell you what track you're on. But it also plays Sega CD and Genesis games. So, sure.
Did it work well?
I don't fucking know. I know that it was grossly overpriced.
I think that was the last bit where the Sega Genesis finally stopped making stuff. Well, that was it. Like, there was no more Sega
Genesis. Yeah,
because
after that, they went on the Sega Saturn, right?
Sega Saturn did follow it, yeah. But there was actually one final iteration of the Genesis. It was called Sega Terra Drive, and it only came out in Japan.
I'm actually familiar with this.
What the hell is the Terra Drive?
Basically,
did it have a terabyte?
It's a PC. It's basically a Sega Genesis PC. I have no idea what you could do with it. I didn't go that deep.
What's Sega CD?
Sega CD was an expansion of the Genesis.
Ugh. Which is the one that had that horrible Jurassic Park game that was kind of like scenes of dinosaurs, and you'd like click onto the next screen, and then you'd have to like...
Jurassic World.
But was that for like CD or... Oh, wait, you're talking about the movie. It was just as good.
It sounds like you're talking about the Sega CD version.
Like, there were games where there were live action...
the 3DO version?
There were live action people in some of the games.
Because the Jurassic Park game for the Genesis was extremely good. It was really hard. You could play as the humans or the dinosaurs.
No, this one was a first-person view where you traveled through different areas of the park.
Yeah, but Brandon, that's either a Sega CD game or there was a game for the 3DO, and there's also 3DO. The Super Nintendo game, which was a third-person overhead.
No, that game was great.
That game was great.
Nedry would pop up in the corner and be like, don't forget to touch the electric fence for extra lives. And then you'd like touch it and die. I'm like, damn you, Nedry. That game was so good. Except you couldn't save.
Yo, here's something I just learned from some Wikipedia digging, prepping for this episode. You know, Nintendo's very controlled about what's an official Nintendo piece of hardware or software. Genesis didn't, or Sega in general, didn't really care. They licensed to other people like crazy. For example...
And that's where Mad Cats came from.
in order to get a share of the South Korean market, they had to team up with Samsung as a distributor due to a feud between Japan and South Korea that made it practically illegal to have Japanese-produced items there during the 80s and 90s. And through that Samsung release, to conceal that, it was called on all the advertising and packaging and everything the Super Game Boy...
The Super Game
except game was spelled G-A-M star, like on your keyboard, boy, and then it was later called also the Super Aladdin Boy.
Oh, it's not the Game Boy, it's the Game Boy.
And what's more, Sega allowed JVC to make their own Genesis Sega CD combo, even though Genesis made the Genesis CDX. This is called the Wonder Mega in Japan, and I have no idea how to pronounce it, quite frankly. This is in North America. It's called this. It could have just been called the Wonder Mega, but instead it was called, I guess, the ZI. It's X apostrophe I, E Y E.
Yeah, the Zihi.
Z?
Zihi.
Maybe. And it cost $500.
Damn, and people complained when PS3 came out. Shit.
But dig this. Here's a beautiful
like
hole
the 80s.
Of obscure video game stuff I've never even heard of. I love this. I want one of these things. Pioneer made a multi-purpose home console thing called the Laser Active.
Yes, I know that this is. Yeah.
It played Laserdiscs, CDs, karaoke discs, and console games from Genesis and TurboGrafx, but it only did the gaming stuff if you use separate modules they called packs, and they created the Mega LD pack that Sega developed for them just so this hyper expensive, only the like 1% could ever have this machine.
Yeah, it was like $1,500 for the entire setup, and it had 5 games.
Yeah, and then also when you had the entire mod setup, it was like the size of an average bedroom dresser.
Yeah.
Well, we'll link to it on this episode's page. It's amazing. It is a huge, you'd break your foot if you tripped on it. It's say you open up a 90s issue of Penthouse. That's a gentleman's magazine. And what that means is they're going to advertise you sports cars, liquor, cigarettes, and oh my God,
and a $1,500 gaming
hi-fi stuff like you've never seen before. If you crack open a Hustler or Penthouse from the 70s through the 90s, it's just rife with these crazy expensive setups you'd never see anywhere else. And they probably advertise this thing because if you want to look like $1,000,000 because you probably have that in stocks, then you got to buy one of these suckers.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It also had laser active 3D goggles with an active shutter 3D system.
What the hell do you do with those goggles?
Well, you play games, or probably not a game, experiences like 3D Museum, Vajira 2. I don't know.
I'm sorry, that word just makes me giggle.
Virtual Cameraman 2 and 3D Virtual Australia.
I feel like those are the type of VR games where you, if you get submerged or submersed in them, whatever, you really like, it creeps you the fuck out because you're in a weird vector graph universe of just like creepy facial expressions.
It's the Lawnmower Man all over it.
It is Lawnmower Man. It's 100% Lawnmower Man. And these goggles were, however, compatible with the Sega Master System, because the Master System had SegaScope 3D glasses, because Sega tried everything.
That's why I have to give him props for trying everything and failing at most of them, but at least they tried. Unfortunately, Nintendo has picked up the reins and trying crazy shit and failing now. So they're going the way of Sega. They picked up the reins for them.
We'll see. We'll see. Because you're not wrong.
I'm not.
But the we'll see is we'll see if Nintendo doing that kills them.
Yes.
As a hardware developer.
If the past is any indicator of the future, then 100% yes.
We'll see. But Nintendo Switch is coming out early next year.
Only people with midget hands like me are going to use those little side controllers. And I'm not even going to use those. Why the fuck would I ever take that out of the house? Get my system jacked? Are you fucking kidding me? Let's take it to a basketball court. Oh my God, guys, you want to play fake basketball while you're playing real basketball? Take all these tiny things the size of thumb drives. Yeah, get your little mitts on them. Yeah, nope, 2 buttons. Fuck you. Sorry. It's not happening. Someone invites me to a house party, I'm not bringing a fucking Nintendo Switch. I'm bringing some liquor, so I don't have to deal with people, but I'm not bringing a fucking Nintendo Switch. Sorry. God.
Bring your Sega Dreamcast.
Why aren't they just teaming up with Sega at this point to make a new system? They might as fucking well.
Oh, they should.
Nintendo's already doing what Sega has done, where they're branching out into making software and games for other companies.
No.
No, they have. Mobile. No, they started with mobile.
Don't you remember, Brandon?
No.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
That was a commercial, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a whole catchphrase. That was the hyper aggro Genesis.
It was. It was.
Dude, I just remember fighting with people who had Segas because I had an NES and they had a Sega, and they're like, oh, it's so much better, fuck you. And I'm like, no, fuck you, man. Sega's lame, there's nothing good. And then like Super Nintendo came out, and I was like, haha, you dicks. And they're like, Sega still looks better. I'm like, no. Because Super Nintendo came out, and then every great RPG ever made was on Super Nintendo, and Sega had no good RPGs. Maybe one, but I can't think of it because I didn't fucking play any.
Beyond Fantasy Oasis.
Star. Which one's Beyond? Wait, Phantasy Star was on Sega?
Yeah.
You know what? I played the shit out of Phantasy Star Online. Yeah, wait, you talk about quality games? Phantasy Star, the game where you find an Eskimo in a cave and you have to give him a soda? Yeah, that's Phantasy Star, like 1-4. Where you have to buy like a Coca-Cola and find an Eskimo in a cave and give it to him to get a clue. That is legit, Cap. That is real what I just said.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Mike was obsessed with those games. Yeah, you get him a fucking soda and there's just a random Eskimo in a cave. Anyway, whatever.
Hey, closing statements on the Genesis. We're at time here.
Toy Story is the greatest video game adaptation of a movie ever made.
What, Lion King?
Best games that you should go play on your Sega Genesis right now: Streets of Rage 1, Vector Man, and
Earthworm Jim.
Earthworm Jim, but there's another one and I can't think of it right now.
There are so many good ones.
There are so many good
ones. You can't just do top three.
We have the biggest library of Sega Genesis games. It's the best.
Vectorman is great. Vectorman is spectacular. And Aladdin is fantastic. The Jurassic Park game, I was so envious of, because the graphics for that game were, like, in spite of the Super Nintendo game being very good, the graphics for the Genesis game outclassed the Super Nintendo one by a huge margin.
I do have to throw in, too, that we did, in fact, have Lethal Enforcers with the gun.
Nice.
Just saying.
Nice.
Yeah.
And hey, and all the Sonic games, I think Sonic through Sonic and Knuckles are pretty unfuckwithable, delightful games.
I don't know. As soon as they added Knuckles, I'm like, whatever.
What is it? What's wrong with Knuckles? He's an echidna. That's cool.
Echidna. It doesn't even look like an echidna. He's like, I'm a bad guy. And then, like, turns out I'm really a good guy. And then they had to make another bad guy. I'm Shadow. I'm a bad guy. And then, like, later it's like, I'm really a good guy. I'm like, come on, Sega, make up your fucking mind. Well, God, the main bad guy is a fucking fat dude in a fucking flying blimp. Sorry,
Original the Hedgehog.
Yeah. There should be a Sega game where they should make a new Sonic game where he goes around, rewrites his own past, his own history, and just erases all that shit, just murders them in the past. Just stabs them while their mothers are there, like a female echidna somewhere about to shit out Knuckles out of her ass, and Sonic is just stabbing her. And the Knuckles was never born.
Brandon, but what about the Sonic Saturday morning animated series?
I mean, that one was good.
Oh, chili dogs.
The one with the chili dogs or the one with the cyborg bunny?
I believe they both had chili dogs, but the one with Bunny Rabot.
Well, that one and the Steve Urkel one, both great.
He was...
I never said Sega's TV shows were bad, did I?
There were two Sonic cartoon shows that existed simultaneously, but they both had chili dogs, I think, and they both had Jaleel White voicing Sonic.
I mean, who didn't think the female bunny and ferret girl were hot? Who didn't think? Come on.
Absolutely everyone.
Exactly.
Ask a furry.
Yeah, Sally.
Sally. Yeah, Princess Sally. Anyway, thanks so much, Anthony, for this microsode. We have other video game microsodes on the docket as well, including one about obscure video games. So more of this flavor, I think.
Monster Hunter, where me and Brandon argue about Monster Hunter.
Yeah, let's do that again.
That one exists. The obscure video games one is to come.
I know at least one obscure video game.
We've actually done that topic before, but it was like in our first year of existence, so we're revisiting it by listener request. And I don't know when that's coming out, so just...
2017? 2018? Could be anyone's guess. We pulled it out of a hat. Whatever.
Nerdy Show is entirely listener-supported. This entire network is listener-supported. And it's the holidays, so that means, oh man, you're probably buying a ton of shit on Amazon. So you should go to nerdyshow.com/Amazon, follow our Amazon links, and buy all your stuff on Amazon through our links. It gives back to us.
It literally costs you nothing extra, but maybe a minute of time.
You could buy some kind of Genesis emulation device that probably exists. any kind of like Sonic Mega Collection or whatever, you can get that through these links. Whatever you want.
By Sega Game Gear.
We bought our brand new Yeti mic that we're recording on right now on those links.
Well done.
I'm going to buy the PS4 Pro through that link.
Jeffrey Lalone wrote in. He said, hey there, Nerdy Show crew. Just wanted to let you know that I used your Amazon affiliate link to buy our president-elect a dollar copy of the U.S. Constitution.
What does that mean? You get like 5 cents?
Yeah, it's probably not much, but hey, every
bit counts. We appreciate it. We appreciate what you did.
Yeah.
Both of the things you did there. Yeah. We appreciate both of those things.
And another way you can support us is through Patreon. We have all kinds of perks, a lot of outtakes, expanded content. There was a little conversation about Phil Collins that took place before this episode started that's probably going to find its way into a blooper
reel. I thought we were talking about Genesis, the band, not Sega Genesis. So that happened.
Yeah, so that's coming to a Patreon near you. Nerdyshow.com/Patreon, patreon.com/nerdyshow. Pick your poison. But we have a new patron. Shout out to Mike Swabby. Thanks for joining us here.
Yeah.
Woo!
All right, Mike.
Welcome to the boat. Taking us out, we have a track from Super Soul Brothers. I'm excited to announce that Super Soul Brothers are now on Nerdy FM and therefore also playing on Nerdy Show. Nerdy FM is our nerd music radio station at nerdy.fm. You can listen online or you can download the app for Android and iPhone. It's a full repertoire of the best nerd music across all genres. Super Soul Bros are one of the greatest VGM bands in existence. They are the Steely Dan of nerd music.
I mean, that could be an opinion, but I'll take it. I'll take your word for it.
I'm just saying, this is a jazz combo that plays with immaculate precision. They play incredible renditions of video game tunes. So we're going to play one now from the score to Sonic 3. You know, the one Shadow composed by Michael Jackson. And I'd also like to say that as thrilled as I am to play Super Soul Brothers here and now, and this track rocks, If I had the rights for it, I would definitely consider playing Genesis 1612 by the Left Rights. If you haven't
checked, oh my gosh.
Do you know the track?
I do, yes.
I don't think the Left Rights are going to care. I promise.
You know, I don't think they are going to care.
I don't think Jimmy Urine or whatever. Well, actually, he's going to be a big star soon in Guardians of the Galaxy
soon, yeah,
too.
Yeah, he is in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, they're too busy with mindless self-indulgence.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Left Rights are every weird studio crazy fucking idea that mindless self-indulgence has.
It's the Tim and Eric of CDs.
Yes. Yeah, they have two records. They're incredible. And even if you don't like MSI, you might like Left Rights. It's nerdy music. They're all like Muppets, video games, Darth Vader, all of it. So you should check them out. And the track Genesis 1612 is all about the console wars. And it's very aggressively pro-Sega.
Yeah.
I was curious. It's awesome. I looked up the Bible verse for Genesis 1612.
Is that where they got the name?
I'd never looked it up before. Oh, it's he will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him.
What? Is that real?
And he will live to the east of all his brothers.
That's the real thing.
Yes.
Okay.
The Old Testament, folks.
His hand will be a donkey.
He will be a wild donkey of a man.
He will be a wild... Does that mean he has a big dong?
Could
Does be. That mean he can't breed? Are donkeys the ones that can't breed, or mules? Are they both?
Mules. No, mules are.
Man, they both got really long dongs. Long dongs. And
on that note, here is a killer track from the Super Soul Brothers. Look forward to hearing a ton of their music on Nerdy FM, and definitely check them out. This is Hydrocity Zone.
Bros hit you with that fofo, oh no. Solos on the horns like that trombone. Bring that funk city fresh from your PC or your console. Make you wanna console your mama, why we ill is this? Old school vibes with that new type fresh. Mr. Mon's dad, dude on the mic. And nothing nice sliding through, ain't no crew as dope as this. Thank you to step my way, all the way live from the Sunshine State. There's dinner drop, but yes, we walking through the Hydro City. A sprint dodging ghouls, and what's your option? Select the Super Soul Bros, the sound I'm taking concoction. Flip script, kick flip switch like Eric Austin. Awesome, so sick you coughing. Asking for more, like a young Oliver Twist. We gifted, uplifted, in fact, and overtrained the tracks. Super Soul is where it's at. They move in cycles, transformers, prime time my disciples. Whether heads or tails, pass or fail. Speed like a sonic boom, perfect the art and where to start. Collect the hearts, also collect, inspect the deck. A Donkey Kong smack it, just get mad respect. Parry everything like an 04 Daigo. One strike, two strike, three, it's inevitable. The music keep you high, Mr. Veggie. Fist to the top, bop, drop like Dizz Gillespie. Milestones that go on the microphones, yeah, we got it. Infinite like figure eight, you can't stop it. Graduated with supreme technique, I went to college. Polished knowledge, a slave to the rhythm and beats, a beast like Vincent, strike three or seven times and find where the verse of pro Super Soul keep you on your toes.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes or like and follow us on SoundCloud. Yay! As listener support entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other gnarly shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon, brah. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more totally tubular perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can give us, like, surfboard sponsorships or, like, craft beer sponsorships, you know, whatever. You can subscribe to all of Nerdy Show podcasts via iTunes or SoundCloud, and you can leave a comment, like, and share. Follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks, like at Twitter, Instagram, that shit, Pinterest. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, they've totally got it covered.